Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, we are going to talk about the legend of Floyd Allen. Floyd Allen was a man who lived in West Virginia and had a great deal of influence over the local authorities. And he kind of went and took the wrong track in life, Brandy.
As one does.
Now, I know you love a good story about hillbillies.
I do. It's always nice to see family in the news.
And drinking. You love a good story about drinking. You love a good story about, shooting your relatives.
I do. And so, drunk hillbillies are the best hillbillies.
Yeah, so this episode is kind of like Hillbillies Gone Wild.
Well,
it really is. You know, I wonder what would have happened to Floyd had he, tried to shoot one of his relatives, and then the bullet would have hit the ground and oil would have came out to me. They could have made a TV show out of it.
Yeah, they could have moved to California, Southern California.
Oh, no. Mm. No. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Now, Brandy, have you ever, I know you've probably watched, Beverly Hillbillies, right?
Yes, I've seen a few.
Have you had impure thoughts about Sam Drucker?
Was that Jethro?
No, Sam Drucker was, he wasn't in it too much. He was also in the, Petticoat Junction. Yeah, he was
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
He ran the local dry foods store. So,
I see. No.
So Sam Drucker, he didn't catch your eye or anything. What about Mr. Drysdale, the banker?
No, I don't know. Look, I was not that into it. Settle down. I saw it on reruns at my parents' house when I was little. So just settle down,
Colonel. Timmy.
Speaking of that, Timmy, those shows, they all came in a group, and you remember Petticoat Junction,
yeah.
Timmy.
Bobby Sue
in the beginning, and
Billy Sue,
yeah,
and
the three, and they're lovely young ladies. I mean, just beautiful young ladies. However, they were bathing in the water tower, Timmy.
Yes.
I just couldn't help but ever always think is the town was drinking their ass water.
Well, for our listeners who don't know, Petticoat Junction was on what, late 1960s, Colonel? Early 1970s?
Early 70s,
and yeah, they were. It was about, I think, three sisters, and mm-hmm. at the beginning of the show, they would show them in their bathing suit swimming in the town water tower. They were kind of like Elisa Lam in that sense, Colonel.
Wow, too soon.
Very much so. Very much so.
Too soon.
Lisa Lamb, I think
she
that
dead?
Was like 25 years ago, wasn't it? Someone look that up.
Well, let's talk about this guy.
Write that down, Randy. Well, first let me introduce our panel. We are known for how quickly we get through these introductions and to the story. That's kind of our forte.
It's what we do best.
What people like about Los Dumi.
Let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm good, Timmy. I'm good. We made it through Christmas without, you know, anybody going to jail or being on the news. So that's a win. And,
well,
you know,
and
we're just kind of...
What? That doesn't, I mean, there's been examples of when at your holiday festivities, law enforcement got
involved.
They've
gone awry. They've gone awry.
Yeah. Well, sometimes Alice drinks a little.
Okay.
And she's mean. And she's mean. That's all. I mean, so when my mom is mean, we have to call the cops. She's got to go. She's got to. She needs to be subdued. So.
I like those Christmases where somebody drinks enough and you find out that one of the cousins, your uncle's really not their daddy.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
Those like it turns, ends up like. Oh, right. They end up after you go through all the. You know, all the family tree and straighten it out and all that. And you find you're your own father.
Wow.
Pretty much, yeah.
That is something. But, no, we had a good Christmas. It was lovely. And I do want to say, though, that I had the best intentions. I was in the Christmas card exchange this year. I've been in it almost every year. And this year, I didn't get them out. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But I want to make sure that, you know.
So let me understand this so I'm clear.
I just didn't have a chance to sit down and do them.
I'm not really sure that's I don't think you understand the term exchange.
Yeah. It sounds to me like
you're in the Christmas card receiving group.
So
but not the exchange.
So you did that on false pretenses, basically.
Shut up. I feel so bad, but I just
I hope every time you look at your beautiful cards that our listeners sent you that you will feel shame. No,
I feel shame.
Those cards are ill-gotten gains.
Yeah, it's the great Brandy Christmas card grift.
Yes.
Timmy.
Anyway,
I think this was planned out. I think this was your strategy all along.
I apologize that I did not get those out, and I do want to.
She's not sorry. Make sure. Not sorry one bit.
She's not sorry at all. I don't know if she's capable of being sorry.
I am.
I think a psychiatrist one time that examined you said you weren't capable of pity, empathy, or sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. No. No, that didn't happen. My mom had me tested, so no. But.
Number of times. So did the courts.
Yeah, so settle down. But yeah, so we just, it's good Christmas. The boys seemed to get everything that they wanted and needed. And
well, you know who didn't get what they wanted or needed? You know who didn't get what they wanted or needed?
I know, the people that didn't get Christmas cards.
Yes.
No, Timmy, you'll appreciate this. I made my mom and dad a Lord and Lady of Scotland.
Okay.
See, like you're a baron?
Yes.
Von Scott.
Well come on now. That's a little bit different. I am a baron. Yeah. It's not just a little certificate
baron.
that you type up on your Microsoft Word.
I made money for that. My dad's now one.
How much did it cost you?
But my dad, huh?
How much did it cost you?
I'm not going into that. But the point is, because my parents are impossible to buy for. So, you know, I got them this. But evidently my dad is, like, driving my mom crazy because...
I'm not going into that. Colonel means, like, $6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish.
Depending on the site you get.
But, no. Yeah. But I guess my dad's driving my mom nuts because they're sending all this stuff over from Scotland and it didn't make it. So I did have... They had sent me decrees or whatever that I could... you know, print out. So I did that. And my dad opens the gift and he's looking at it. And his first thing, well, can we build a house on it? I said, no, Dad, you can probably build an outhouse on it. Well, we're going to have to gift this to somebody in the will. Well, I don't know. Oh, he was driving me goddamn crazy. I'm like, wait till you get the stuff. And evidently he drove my mom crazy.
Did you buy them? Did you buy them like 1 square foot in Scotland? Is that what you did?
No, I mean, I bought them more than 1 square foot.
Because you can do that.
I know. I bought them more than 1 square foot, but, you know, way less than you could build a house on. You know, yeah. You could build it.
Well,
you
not
could
a
build
tiny
an outhouse.
House.
Not even a tiny house.
I know you're opposed to those.
I am opposed to those. Not even a tiny house would fit on these plots of lands out there. And that's all fine, but now my dad's, you know, I guess he's driving my mom crazy, and I got him little crowns, and so my dad, I guess, has been wearing his around. He thinks he's a big fucking
You can buy a house in Italy for $1.
I do know that.
Yes, you can. I saw that.
I do. A lot of them need work, though, and they're very small.
Well.
And I don't speak Italian. But some of those places, here's the thing. If it was just like me and Dave, you know, there'd be one thing. I'd definitely go do that. But, you know, I've got kids, and you look at those places, and everybody's, you know, everybody there is, you know, over the age of 60. It's like, well, where would he go to school or play with other kids or, you know. So, but those do look, I would love to do something like that. That'd be awesome.
Well, Colonel, I feel that we've had way, way too much brandy time.
But an awful lot of brandy time this week.
And, you know, that's one of the things that our listeners, we promised our listeners that in 2022 we wouldn't spend as much time on brandy time.
So much brandy time. Yeah. You know, and Timmy, I don't know if you've noticed this the last couple episodes, but when you ask how she's not been vile, hateful, mean. She's saying she's doing good. Being almost, dare I say, human. I'm wondering, I was watching this show, and it was this little green man who hated the little people in the town below. I mean, he had a little dog. And I don't really...
The dog's name
is
Max.
So something happened to this guy right around Christmas time.
Are you worried about, like, copyright that you won't say the Grinch? Like,
That's what it was, the Grinch. The Grinch.
Really? Really?
Yes.
He wasn't coming to... Okay.
And his heart grew 3 sizes, Timmy, at Christmas. So I'm wondering, Devil, has your heart grown 3 sizes?
No.
Because it seems like... Does it seem like she's the less...
She does seem... a bit on... I mean, you know, it's all on the brandy scale, right?
Well, yeah, it's on a curve, but yeah.
And she seems on... Yeah, she seems almost human.
You know, from...
Times?
Yeah, somewhere between Stalin and Hitler. I mean, she's... You know... Yeah, just seems to be cheerful almost. I don't know, jolly.
Before we went on
extended brandy time. Thank you.
Before we went on the air, we were having an in-depth discussion about elves versus gnomes, and I understand. Well, let me introduce you, and you can tell us your feelings on elves. At this time of year, brandy.
Nope. It's Charles.
Look to the North Star. To guide them.
Event,
and so a lot of people in these troubled times, they turn to our next host.
Nobody does that.
For guidance. Nope.
Guidance again. Say guidance one more fucking time because I don't think anybody got it.
He is a man who is, has been called an oasis in the desert of despair, Brandy.
Nope.
He's a best-selling author. I know many of you have probably got his book for Christmas.
Nope. Nobody.
What's the name of that title again, Colonel?
How to Make Love to a Woman.
Where the Colonel gives men and women life tips on how to pleasure their mate.
Nope. get to it.
He in that book, Brandy, he also draws little diagrams.
I don't care. Of course he did. Yeah, don't. You know, that's whatever. Just get on it. Just introduce Chuck.
He's a man of...
not any of those things.
He is a man of God. He is a like leader of men.
Absolutely not.
Very honorable.
Nope.
The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm just busy, Timmy. I'm busy. I'm a little stressed. Oh, I'm a little stressed, Timmy. you happened to throw out in our last episode that how some men from a certain country were they were making love to donkeys. Timmy.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, my book has been extremely successful. And my editor comes back and says to me, God. What if you add we did a reprint and you added a chapter on how to make love to livestock?
I don't want to have this conversation, and I feel like,
and I thought, you know, that could just be one page
because the FBI is,
that could be just
in
one page where we just say, nope, you know, nope, carefully, and then I talk to the editor of you know, with donkeys and things like that. How do you
No.
Yeah, how do you get consent?
Can we?
Because there's no consensual thing,
not
there, right?
Do this? Can we just
but
talk
then
about
it occurred
Floyd
to me?
I just want to talk about Floyd.
And if Brandy, if it's obvious that the Colonel is going to win probably a Pulitzer Prize for his best-selling book, How to Make Love to a Woman, but you probably didn't know he once won a Pulitzer Prize just for sexting. Probably didn't know that, Brandy.
I did. I actually.
Oh my
did.
God. Can we get to something that is true at any point? The last thing that you said that was true was
to the
Charles.
Elves. Let's get back to the elves.
I wish...
You know what I don't like about the elves?
We were never on the elves.
Don't elves look sketchy to you? I don't like elves. I don't like elves. We watched the Tolkien movies. I don't like elves. And you know what I feel like elves? Elves are controlling the media narrative, Timmy.
You know what I don't like about elves? Well, I never thought about that, Colonel, but... You know, they get under your feet, and you're like, I trip over them and things.
Oh, my God.
Well, elves are like the apostles to Santa. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, why do we have saints that you got to pray to? Why do you got to tell elves what you want for Christmas? I want to cut out the middle, man. I want to go straight to Santa. I don't trust elves, Timmy.
Well,
because I got some jacked up Christmas gifts when I was a little kid, and I had, you know... Where I was from, really, Santa wouldn't come to our neighborhood first to ask. So you had to tell an elf, and you'd never get what you wanted. They never got it right.
Who
and
cares?
I don't like them. I don't like them.
We had this.
Who cares?
You know, but I was thinking if
I
that
doubt
thing
it.
That you was talking about last week with the donkeys. Fuck. I wonder if Bill Cosby had fainting goats.
Oh, God.
To me. If Bill Cosby had the fainting goats.
Oh, my God.
We had a guy.
If you had pets, I bet they would be famous.
We had a
goats.
Guy who did Santa Claus in my hometown at the local department stores. So there was a department store called Hex, HECKS. Well, before Christmas of that year, he was always a Santa Claus. You come in, and it was like where you get your picture taken with him, and if you like the photos, you can buy, you know, you get one free, and then, you know. Mm-hmm. So before, for like around Thanksgiving, he got a domestic violence charge against him, and he had to do his, you know, meet the children and everything and take the photos and everything with a unit on his ankle. Embarrassing is that.
Santa's got. Well, that's how NORAD tracks you, Timmy.
Yeah, I guess.
NORAD. Santa's been chipped.
Oh, my God.
You know, how else do they know where Santa's at? Santa must have got the vaccination. They gave him a chip in his arm.
Oh, my God.
Because they know where he's at all the time.
All right. We're going to talk about Floyd Allen here.
Could we?
I'm ready to talk about
Florida. Well, Colonel, I know you come to this podcast every week, Colonel, prepared and ready to go. And, you know,
I like to think of myself as a professional.
Well, you know, not everyone is as professional as you, Colonel. Just saying that.
Well, Brandy, are you in your house robe?
No.
Curlers.
Because I know.
No.
I got up and, took a shower, flossed my teeth.
Did his voice exercise.
Put a little gel in my hair. Did my, did all that. You know, just to get ready, read the script again, read it twice. I was up at 7 a.m., got my makeup on, and I'm prepared for this. And I just wonder what kind of pre-game ritual you go through, Devil.
I see her
just turning your computer on and waiting for me to call.
Rolling over in bed. That's what I'm seeing.
Drinking coffee, yeah. Smoking a cigarette. And just, you know. I'm trying to think of there's a character on TV. I'll let that one go for now. But yes, I'm ready for this, right, Timmy? I'm eager and I'm ready to record. Right.
Well, Hillsville is a small town in Southwest Virginia. The city has under 3,000 people in the county seat of Carroll County, Virginia. I told you, down here is where my relatives are from when I did my Ancestry.com search. And my great-great-great-great-great-great-aunt, her name was Obedience. Now, she might have been into that whole BDSM scene. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
Obedience was her name.
I would like to have someone named Obedience.
Well, apparently... Who would? Apparently she, you know... She's very obedient, I guess.
I know my next wife ain't going to speak English to me. I'm going to get me one of those that don't speak English.
So that she takes care of your every whim?
Well, just so you don't get into, you know, who vacuumed last or who, you know.
Oh, my God. One sentence. We've gotten through one motherfucking sentence in this goddamn script. Fucking really?
Well, we're only an
hour. Know what? And I can sit and let you guys... Yeah. I can sit and let you guys let everybody think that you pick at me. Because the quieter I am, the more the two of you look like fucking assholes. So, let's get on with this.
See, you are a glass empty, half empty type of gal, Devil. Because I think... It's 21 minutes and we're already a sentence into this.
Oh, fuck.
You see how you got a negative outlook on life, Devil?
Uh-huh.
You see how you just fail to see the positive in things?
Yeah, that's
so, go ahead.
You like gnomes, Brandy?
I have no opinion on gnomes.
All right. Hillsville has only a total of 8.9 square miles. And is located within the Blue Ridge Mountain Range of the Appalachian Mountains. Now, a lesser researcher, Colonel, would say that Hillsville had a total area of 9 square miles. But
Exactly.
But not me.
No. You surveyed this
yes,
yourself,
I did.
I
did.
Before you put that.
Nothing much happens in Hillsville, Brandy. But in 1912... Hillsville became the focal point of the press and media throughout the country and as far away as Europe. So it got in the news, Brandy. The focus of the media, attention was a gunfight that broke out at the courthouse after one of the town's most notable citizens, Floyd Allen, was convicted of several criminal charges.
That does tend to get the media's attention.
I'm not sure if it does anymore, but back in the day it did.
Well, right.
Now, you know, you have all those shows where, like, you go on TikTok and you always see these guys getting sentenced to, you know, some lengthy prison term, and they take off running, and then the overweight deputies have to try to track, run him down. So all good fun.
Wow.
You know, I saw a story on the news on my phone that there was a Christmas Eve gathering at a family, and six people in the family were shot. What strikes me is that doesn't happen more often. And I wondered, it said that in the story, no cause has been given for the shooting as of yet. And when you get that many family members together, it could be anything.
Well, that would be my question. Like, how many family members were there? I mean, if there were,
Yeah. And how many?
Yeah, and if there was 100 of them, that's not too bad. Only six got shot.
No.
Look at the bright side, Brandy.
Sure.
Well, Brandy's not a bright side, yeah.
So, Floyd Allen, who our story is going to focus on, was a local moonshiner and troublemaker. He had his problems with racism as well, as we will see. It's been there.
He was not really woke. He could have used some diversity training, a cultural sensitivity training.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is right. You know, he's right out of the book of the chapters on critical race theory, I believe. This guy.
I believe so.
Yeah, this guy is a pretty disgusting, vile human being.
We could tell other people about it if we could.
It's been estimated that Floyd Allen had been involved in over 700 fights during his lifetime. So, Brandy, he had problems getting along with others, I think it's safe to say.
Probably.
It seems like that if he would have found the right therapist, Timmy, I'm thinking about Floyd sitting on a couch and him talking about his feelings, Timmy, with the therapist, and maybe he could have cut that number down to like 350.
You know, I'm thinking,
you know, if he would have gone through the same anger management that I went through, Timmy, he could have cut that number way down.
I'm thinking Floyd out.
Because Floyd would have thought to himself, you know what, I cannot control how you act. And he would have said that to people, I cannot control how you act. But I can control how I react to it, so I'm not giving my shotgun this time. And he would have been better for it, didn't he?
I think Floyd Allen probably went to the Brandy Herman School of Young
that
Men.
That might have been, mm-hmm. Brandy Herman Finishing
yeah,
School.
Yeah. Floyd Allen was shot at least 14 times in his life, including six times by his own family members. He had He's around his family members more, so I think that's, it's a way to explain that. How many times have you been stabbed by your family members, Brandy, or vice versa?
Or shot at?
I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Well, Floyd had been stabbed at least three times. So, shot 14 times, including six by his only family members, and he also been stabbed at least three times. On March the 14th, in 1912, Floyd Allen was being sentenced for an assault charge when bullets started flying in the courtroom as members of the Allen clan shot it out with armed courtroom officials. So it was quite the to-do, Brandy.
I can tell.
Dozens of panicked citizens fled in all directions from the courtroom. Gunmen jumped on horses to escape into the mountains. The dead and dying laid inside the courtroom where the gun battle had started. In just 90 seconds of gunfire, a judge, prosecutor, sheriff, juror, and a witness were killed or mortally wounded.
Oh, what does mortally wound?
I mean, it's the same, right? It got killed. I don't know why it's...
I thought it was mortally wounded.
They just didn't die at the scene. I guess he died a little bit later on. And Brandy, guess what, Brandy? Whole mess started with a kiss.
It usually does.
Isn't that how so many messes start?
Yeah. Yeah. When you start putting your mouth on other people, you know, it leads to problems. Oh. I'm not going to, you know, I was going to ask you about your, how your economics professor Christmas was, but I'm not even going to go there, Brandy. It's Christmas, and I want to turn over.
It's Christmas. It's a Christmas pass on Brandy's Christmas pass on Brandy's pass, Timmy.
What?
We're gonna give her a pass.
We are. On that. You could say thank you. I mean, it wouldn't be out of line.
Yeah.
Florida. Wow.
Now, when you was growing up, Devil, did you use the bat your eyes and swirl your hair thing on?
Oh, and like curl your hair, you know, like hold your hair.
Twirl it in your finger and stuff.
Do a little hair flip.
You know, a free milkshake.
A little hair flip with a giggle.
Wow.
Did you do that?
Just fucking wow.
That's what guys like, Brandy.
I mean, did...
What?
I don't know how you use your feminine wow. Somehow you landed... You got this trophy husband. And it... You know... People wonder, how did Brandy land, Dave? You know, because, I mean, really, by rights, we all know you should be with Lanny, but you with Dave.
I think she's threatening.
How did that happen?
Bodily harm.
You think it was blackmail?
Yeah, I think she's threatening.
Did you sextortion him? I think
Is
there a tape out there that we should know about, Brandy?
Let me tell you something.
You can head it off. You can head it off. I can head this off for you, Devil.
No. And let me tell you, we are probably one of the last generations that didn't tape our shit. Therefore, you know, we don't do that because we recognize it for what it is. It's evidence. We've watched a lot of Dateline. So, yeah. There's no tape at all. Ever.
Floyd Allen was born on July the 5th, 1856, Brandy, one day after the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
His father served as an officer in the Confederate Army during the American Civil War, to no one's surprise. The Allen family was prominent throughout Carroll County. They owned several businesses and were members of the local Democratic Party, and very active in local politics. And it's this Allen family involvement in state and local politics is why Floyd went so long without experiencing punishment for some of the things that he did. The Allen family was prominent through, or I said that, didn't I? At the turn of the 20th century, the Allen family dominated local and state politics. The Allen family included a state assemblyman, a county commissioner, two deputy sheriffs, clerk of courts, two local postmasters, because, you know, you want to be on good terms with the postmasters, Colonel, or you won't get your, package from Columbia
or
Records.
Your Christmas card from the devil. Doesn't matter how good your relationship was with the postmaster, you're not going to get your Christmas card from the devil.
Yeah, because she decided she was just going to receive and not give. I wonder if that was the case with her in high school, Colonel, because...
Yeah.
We were so close to just moving forward. You all,
what are we getting at?
You just can't do it. You cannot just not fuck around. Okay.
You know, Timmy, I saw a commercial. I don't want to get us off track, but I saw an advertisement, Timmy, and you know how it started with a meme about how, you know, you should not get your wife something like a crock pot or a vacuum cleaner or a floor buffer, shoot, something like that. You know, that's not a real floor good buffer. Floor buffer, yeah. And I saw an advertisement for vaginal rejuvenation, oh, Timmy. It's, yeah. Have you ever heard of this, Devil?
Yes,
it's
I
a real
have
thing. You can look it up.
It's ridiculous.
It's apparently plastic surgery on the woohoo, Timmy.
Wow.
And they do a tuck and tighten and the trim and they're supposed to bring it back to life, you know, like just like new.
Wow.
And I wonder, and they'll even remove the penis if you're over 40, free of charge.
Oh, my God.
I heard it's only like $799.
That's not a bad price.
Anesthesiology.
I mean, that's the best money you'd ever spend, really. Anesthetic.
Did you have a point to your story?
I do.
Okay, could you get to it?
That is a delicate gift to give your loved one for Christmas.
That is not the gift to give your loved one for Christmas.
Well, we're past Christmas, though, so maybe for Valentine's Day, Colonel.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, women out there, maybe you should think about giving it to your husband.
Well, nothing says I love you like a rejuvenated vagina.
Exactly. Exactly. But if the man buys it for a woman, you know, that can create a little tension in the house.
Well, but because why? Because that women have to just face facts, Brandy. And if they have a sagging, you know, yeah.
Okay. Let's go forward.
I'm just saying it's one of those things that it's a delicate conversation to have. But sometimes you got to say, hey, you know, your JJ's a mess down there. Let's do a little work. And
you got to call it for what it is.
You know,
call a spade, in other words.
Yeah. You got a train wreck going on down there. I mean, you sit down and sometimes you take your pants off and causes such a draft that the furnace kicks on and you like a vortex in the house. I'm tired of the little tornadoes every morning. So anyway,
well, Colonel, I'm glad.
Not really sure where I was.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up.
It's a public service.
It really is, and I'm glad you brought it up.
It's fucking exhausting.
Well, because we talk so much about vaginal decay, Timmy, and I just want women to know that there's hope out there.
There is hope.
There's hope out there for you. You can get it rejuvenated. Rejuvenation is what they call it. It's basically a vaginal baptism. You're born
and
again.
Now, Colonel, can they also get implants, or like if they want teeth down there?
Oh, I guess they could, but, you know, that would... Yeah, that would scare me. The vaginous dentitis.
So, well, you know what scares me is how they floss down there. That's what I don't understand.
And brushing. Yeah. You know, brushing's interesting. But I just thought, you know, a lot of our listeners would like to know that it's not that expensive. You can get it done. You're out, apparently, for 3-4 days.
They don't want to know.
You know, but...
Well, that's a great...
Did you know that such a thing existed, Devil?
Yes.
I think it's a great idea.
Because you don't have one. There's no reason you would know that, because you don't have one.
Well, see, I've...
You talk an awful lot about... You talk an awful lot about something that obviously you know jack shit about.
Well,
I cannot take it.
You know, I'm
no more
gonna have knocks on my door like, Colonel, you wrecked it. You got to repair it. You,
no,
pal, you break it, you buy it.
There's
it's
nobody
the
has ever
vagina.
That's never
you break
happened.
It, you buy it.
Ever.
Buy it.
There's just nothing there.
So, I'm gonna be paying for all kinds
of
bad.
Oh my God! How did you have kids?
Well, Brandy, I mean, he makes some good points.
He makes no point.
You have to
admit
that.
The only point he has is the top of his head. Come on.
I can't tell you the number of times.
Oh my God.
Up as a youth,
I can tell
said
you.
To me, you broke my vagina.
Nope, I can tell you, how many times. Vagina. I can tell you exactly, precisely how many times that's happened.
You broke it, girl.
The precise number. I can give that to you if you'd like it. And you can write it down, tattoo it on your fucking forehead. I don't care. Please. I don't want to talk about Floyd. Can we talk about Floyd?
Come on, Brandy. Let's get back on the story here, Timmy.
She does. She does that all the time.
We're trying to stay on track.
So, in just 90 seconds of gunfire, like I said, a judge, prosecutor, sheriff, juror, and witness.
Right.
They're all dead.
Let's go. Keep it moving.
And it started with the kiss, Brandy.
Yep. Heard that, too.
Floyd Allen was born on July 5th, 1856, one day after.
God, we haven't even gotten to when he was born, even though you fucking said it. We haven't even got there yet, for fuck's sake. Come on.
Well, now.
Oh, I didn't want to do that.
The Allen family was prominent throughout Carroll County. They owned several businesses, and as I said, were members in the, very active in the local Democratic Party. At the turn of the 20th century, the Allen family dominated local and state politics. And as I mentioned, their family included assemblymen, a county commissioner, two deputy sheriffs, clerk of courts.
Yes.
Two postmasters.
Yes. You really Lots want, of people.
Really want that.
Some a tax collector, bunch of judges, all of them.
Yeah.
They're all kinfolk.
You really want those postmasters on your side, is what I'm saying. That was my point I was trying to make.
Yep.
Right.
Well, my God.
You do.
Nothing much happened in Carroll County without the Allen's family approval. So by 1912, Floyd Allen was well established as the Allen family patriarch. He was the head of the family, basically, in other words, Brandy.
Yes, I got it.
The Allen clan, either by blood or marriage, made up almost a quarter of the residents of Carroll County. Floyd was the boss of the family, and he spent much of his life living near Fancy Gap Mountain in Carroll County, Brandy.
And you know, Timmy, if you get a vaginal rejuvenation, you too can have a Fancy Gap.
He makes a good point, Brandy.
It does.
So,
oh my God.
Floyd was known, Brandy, for his generosity, but he also was known for his quick temper and the ease in which he would feel slighted. Does that remind you of anywhere?
It reminds you of Timmy. Yeah.
On this podcast?
No. I'm pointing fingers because we're on a podcast and I can't, but if I could. My fingers will be pointed directly at you, devil, but proceed.
Thank you, Colonel. According to Floyd's testimony, he had been in more than 700 fights during his lifetime, in which at least three led to the other person dying. It has been documented that Floyd was shot at least 14 times during his lifetime and was stabbed on three occasions. So he's kind of like 50 Cent. He's like 50 Cent of West Virginia.
He's an ass.
When Floyd was 6 years old, his cousin Cyrus accidentally had shot Floyd in the hip while the young boys were hunting rabbits in rural Virginia.
We've all got a cousin Cyrus.
The injury left Floyd with a pronounced limp for the rest of his life. Now, Floyd was 6 years old when his cousin had accidentally shot him, but it was considered an accident by all of those involved, except for Floyd. Floyd wasn't sure and held a grudge against his 10-year-old cousin.
Well, somebody shoots you in the hip. You're going to always wonder, Timmy.
Yeah.
You're always going to wonder what motivated him.
Well, Cyrus would die in a mysterious drowning accident a few years later. When
a mysterious... I know, I love that. a mysterious drowning accident. Or
take the Scooby crew.
Yeah, let's get Scooby on that.
Cyrus would die in a mysterious mysterious drowning accident.
This wasn't a mystery. He held his head under the water.
And when he...
There's no mystery.
It occurred when he and Floyd had been alone fishing at a nearby lake. A search of the lake and surrounding area proved fruitless, Brandy. When
revenge is a dish best served cold.
When Cyrus's body surfaced several days later, it appeared to the local sheriff that the boy's head had been bashed in with a rock.
Ah.
But they didn't know if it was...
It jumped into the water quickly.
They didn't know if it was post-mortem or, you know. So anyway, no charges were filed. When Floyd was 13, this would have been 1869, he visited his cousin in North Carolina. Floyd, his cousin, and a group of friends went to Charlotte to see a minstrel show. During intermission, Floyd noticed that a black teenager was sitting in the white section of the little theater there.
And this is where Floyd becomes a social justice warrior,
yeah.
Tim.
Oh, my God.
Now, this upset Floyd, and he ordered the black teenager to the, it's what they called it at the time, the collared section. When the young man refused, Floyd took out a revolver and shot the youngster in the stomach.
I mean, that seems like a measured
response. He was 13 years old.
Yeah, he might
have. Why is he carrying a gun at 13?
He might have. He might have overreacted a bit, Randy.
Maybe a smidge. Just saying. And you know what? Here's the thing, too. You know, we've all been out like with a group of people, and there's always that one fucking guy. Because I bet Floyd's friends were all like, "Come on, dude, it doesn't matter. Just come on, let's go, let's go." No, this motherfucker. We've all had those people in our group. Chuck is the people. Chuck is that person in any group.
Well,
so it's like...
No, I usually am the person restoring calm to the situation. I'm the Zen master of these kinds of situations, devil.
Yeah, but we've all been there. I don't know how Floyd had friends.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they were, you know, they were his relatives. And, I'm sure they were as racist as Floyd was. But anyway... he shoots this young black teenager, and even though there was a doctor at the minstrel show, he couldn't treat the young man. They had to wait till the collar doctor arrived, which my guess took a little bit of time. And instead of feeling remorseful, Floyd complained that the show was...
The guy died, right?
Yeah. But it was a gut shot. But instead of feeling remorseful, Floyd complained that the young man had interrupted the show, and he wanted a refund. He wanted a refund, so...
Well... I mean,
and you know, this was a minstrel show, which I'm not really sure what that means, but
yeah, you are.
I'm assuming. Well, I know what it means, but I'm assuming it was live actors there, so that had to be instead of a movie show, movie house. So that had to be a little disconcerting to the actors, who I would think would just not have wanted to go on.
Yeah, right.
So I think Floyd would be entitled to a refund in some
at the very sense, least. I mean, free popcorn.
Yeah.
When the constable arrived, he questioned Floyd. Floyd claimed innocence, but then finally confessed to shooting the young man, stating that the black teenager had made inappropriate advances to one of the white girls who was in his group. So, same old story. Blame it on the black kid and shoot him. And The sheriff arrested Floyd, but charges were soon dropped by the local prosecutor, who refused to pursue the case. A crowd of whites threatened to lynch the sheriff, and eventually calm was restored. And
yeah, a crowd threatening to lynch you, Timmy, that changes your perspective very quickly on a case.
In 1871, when Floyd was 15 years old, Floyd got into a fight with an older cousin over some moonshine. Floyd claimed his cousin had stolen 3 jars of his best alcohol. The cousin denied stealing the booze, but Floyd would not let it go. Eventually, the two began to fight. The cousin hit Floyd with a 2x4 board, and the board had rusty nails in it, and stabbed Floyd in the neck.
Damn.
Bleeding profusely, Floyd went into his barn and returned with a shotgun. Floyd then proceeded to shoot his cousin in the head, killing him instantly. The local prosecutor...
Okay, Timmy, this Floyd here, and I know when you did your research, wasn't the Michael Myers character in Halloween loosely based on Floyd?
Fucking like feels that. Like it.
He shot 14 times, three stabbed, hit with a rusty board with rusty nails in it.
It reminds me of...
And he's still... Keeps
well, it reminds
back.
Me of the whites of West Virginia. It's a doc.
Oh God,
yeah.
It's a.
You know what though? Here's
documentary on Netflix, right?
It is. No, it's on Amazon or something. I think it's. I couldn't find it on Netflix. But if you were his cousin, because he keeps evidently just picking off cousins, would you go over and hang out with him? Like, as one of his cousins.
I mean, probably not every day, but, you know.
Or, let's go hang out.
Once in a while.
See what's going on.
Once in a while. I mean,
yeah, I'm feeling dangerous.
There's always
drinking with Floyd.
The good part about hanging out with Floyd is that, you know, it's entertaining. I mean, something is always going on, it seems.
Well.
I mean, if you don't mind hanging out with a racist who shoots his relatives every other day.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't kill. You can't kill him.
Obviously.
Well, after he shot his cousin in the back of the head, killing him instantly, the local prosecutor at the time, a nephew of Floyd Allen, ruled it self-defense. So he shot him in the back of the head, and he ruled it self-defense. And the prosecutor refused to press any charges against young Floyd.
You know, Timmy, when I was just sitting there thinking about Michael Myers, have you ever wondered if you put what's the guy's name? Usain Bolt,
the guy who
wins all the gold medals. If you put him and Michael Myers in a 100-yard dash,
they'd tie.
Well, yeah, and Michael just be walking, and Usain will cross the finish line and turn around, and Michael will be 2 steps behind him.
Yeah.
You know what I never, I never figure out is why people were afraid of zombies, because every zombie I've ever seen are like walking aimlessly. I mean, like, you could like just step out of their way. I don't know why there's this great fear
of
zombies.
Oh, because that's not how that works. I mean... That's just not how that works, because they can smell you. So you can't just step out of their way.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They can smell you or hear you.
But they are slow. They are slow.
Well, yeah, they're slow, but when there's, you know, 1,000 of them, it doesn't matter how slow they are.
Brandy, tell us what happens next in the life of young Floyd Allen.
Well, Floyd, when Floyd was 19, oh, for fuck's sake. When Floyd was 19, his brother Sidney began making fun of Floyd's limp in front of some friends.
Oh, see, that, Floyd, that's a bad move. I would like...
Well,
that seems like a dangerous game.
Bad move.
Well, and like the brother doesn't know how this jackass is. But anyway, so he's making fun of him about his limp. Floyd took the measured response of trying to run over his brother with a team of mules.
Well, that was a major
response. As one does.
Yeah.
Sidney responded by shooting Floyd in the chest.
Oh.
As one does. Floyd nearly died from the shooting, but slowly recovered. Floyd is Rasputin.
Yeah.
That's who Floyd
is. He is Rasputin.
But he nearly died from the shooting, but he slowly recovered. When Floyd reached adulthood, Carroll County became a dry county.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. The manufacturing, sale, and purchase of alcohol became illegal. And it was around this time that Floyd and his brother became moonshiners. Since the Allen family was so powerful in the county, Floyd didn't have to worry about being arrested.
Yeah, they found a niche, a niche there, Brandy.
Oh, yeah. But Floyd and his brother soon became the top moonshiners in the state of Virginia. One time, a rival group, the Hanley Brothers... started selling bathtub gin at markdown prices.
I'm telling you what, I would not buy from the Hanley Brothers. That's just me.
Well, they
no.
They run the Big Lots of the moonshining world.
Yeah.
They bathtub gin at markdown prices. So this started to cut into the Allen boys' business. And when Floyd found out about this competition, of course, again, measured, you know, Floyd and his brother confronted the Hanley brothers, and surprise, surprise, a firefight ensued.
I'm getting the idea, Colonel, that Floyd is not receptive to the marketplace of ideas.
No, he's not. Floyd didn't seem to understand capitalism, Timmy.
Oh.
He was
trying to have a monopoly.
Floyd wanted to be the invisible hand of the market,
yes.
Timmy. The much more visible hand.
But Brandy's right. He, you know, you look like someone would come up with some suit him for antitrust violations or something.
Well, you don't want to sue Floyd.
No,
that's true.
So Floyd and his brothers confronted these guys. There was a firefight. Floyd got shot 6 times. Floyd needs to stop stepping in front of guns. That would help.
You know, what I would like to see.
And he was still, wasn't he still changing the bandages on his chest?
At the time, Floyd was still recovering from his recent chest wounds.
You know.
And although he was critically wounded, the fucker survived.
You wonder if the doctor, when he comes to see Floyd, would be like, you know, like the doctor that's on like Bugs Bunny, where he's all shot up with bullet holes and they have him drink water to see where the water comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big figure.
I'm sure.
It's a Looney Tunes theory of a medicine, Timmy.
There you go. So two of his cousins actually died in the incident, and one of the Hanley brothers. So 3 months later, there's
so it seems like the bathtub gym was going to continue.
Well. Right.
I don't think they come to any meeting of the minds there, Colonel.
Doesn't sound like
it. They did not. It doesn't appear so, yeah.
Well, 3 months later, Raymond Hanley, the surviving brother, was tried for murder in Carroll County. Floyd, what the fuck, was a key witness in the case and claimed him and his group were just enforcing. They're just do-gooders. That's all they are. They're enforcing the law to keep Carroll County dry.
Wow.
Floyd claimed he had a moral duty to protect the womenfolk from the scourge of alcohol.
I like to point out that you said duty.
I did say duty. Yeah, duty. So he's just, Floyd and his crew were just defending the women. And, you know,
they were trying to keep them from the evils of the devil's brew. You know what I wonder about this whole COVID thing, Devil? Maybe from a woman's perspective, you could help me out here. I wonder how many divorces there would be if women's wine consumption has not increased dramatically during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're all cooped up we're all cooped up together and women are drinking more wine than ever before.
Because there are more women staying home with their children.
Right. Exactly.
I feel like they're correlated somehow.
Yeah, it seems like there's a direct correlation.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
An effect thing.
Yeah. Believe me, it doesn't seem that way. It is. It is.
So if this was a dry county, we'd have all kinds of divorce, murder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, he's defending the women folk. The case was tried in front of Judge Mavis Allen, Floyd's second cousin. Jesus. Raymond Hanley claimed self-defense, but he was convicted of first-degree murder and then hanged 45 minutes after the trial ended.
45 minutes.
Justice was swift down there.
Well, they didn't really have a lot of appeals, I suppose.
Apparently not, no.
In 45 minutes, instance, yeah, you don't even get a last meal.
They had
then,
to
go
through the goddamn drive-thru.
You don't get a last meal.
He might get his last meal.
You know, those snacks they give you on the airplane now, maybe.
Yeah. Right. They just throw them at
cookie
you.
And some pretzels or something.
That's right.
He had to get a turkey sandwich.
So, in another instance, fucking Floyd. In another instance, arguing over the administration of their father's estate, Floyd Allen got into a gunfight with his own brother Jasper. They also called Jasper Jack. I like Jasper better, but whatever.
We like Jasper.
Yeah. Yeah, but Jasper was a local constable. So he gets in a gunfight with his brother, the local constable.
Now I wonder, Colonel, when you have a cousin who is a local constable, and you get in a gunfight, do you have to kind of like, before you start, do you have to say, I'm not shooting you because you're a constable, I'm shooting you because you're my cousin?
You have to clarify, right. You do have
it's
to
kind of like
clarify.
Kind of like a fair catch, isn't it?
You do one of those things.
In football, it's kind of like fair catch.
Right. If you didn't have that badge, I would do, and then that's where the guy made a mistake, because Jasper probably took his badge off and said, you ain't shit, Floyd. And then Floyd,
yeah,
24.
Good lesson for our listeners. If you have relative, if you're a law enforcement professional, and you have relatives, you get into a to do with your relatives. Don't take that badge off. That badge will protect you.
Mm-mm. Okay, perfect. So they have a full shooting match. Floyd and his brother. Floyd hit Jack in the head. And it just struck a glancing blow on Jack's scalp, while one of Jack's bullets hit Floyd in the chest. Mm. Shocker. His pistol empty, Floyd proceeded to beat Jack with the butt of his empty revolver. Again.
Floyd's a tenacious little bastard.
Well,
I bet he's only about 5 foot
tall.
Five foot two.
It might fuck up that pistol, you know.
Well,
should be a little bit more respectful of other people's property.
So again, this fucking hillbilly Rasputin survived the shooting, was arrested, convicted of assault, and sentenced by a friendly judge to a $100 fine and 1 hour in jail for wounding his brother.
1 hour in jail.
Floyd paid the fine, but refused to go to jail. Floyd's not a politician. He can't do that.
It was a whole hour.
Well, saying that he would never spend a minute in jail as long as the blood flowed through his veins.
Basically, that's a hard no, Brandon. With good behavior.
Right.
Don't you think, Timmy?
You what, Charles?
He could have. It would only been 40 minutes with good
behavior. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. So, Floyd actually, for the rest of his life, Floyd never did spend an hour in jail. In 1908, oh, and this is amazing. This is amazing, to say the least. In 1908, some fucker named Floyd a special deputy for Carroll County.
Hmm. Well, he was familiar with the law enforcement procedures in the county.
Well, but he was fired and then arrested for assaulting a prisoner in his custody with an axe handle while the prisoner was handcuffed. Again, the charges
were
dropped.
Well, that's the best time to do that, isn't it, Colonel? I mean, you wouldn't want to attack him when his hands were free.
No, not at all. No, you want to get him cuffed and whack him with an axe handle.
Jesus. So time and time and time and time again, Floyd would get into these violent confrontations in Carroll County. The incidents...
Spare the rod, spoil the prison.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
The incidents were usually the result of a perceived slight or a business deal gone bad. And each time Floyd escaped prosecution because of his political connections and or witness or jury tampering. It seemed the entire state of Virginia knew about Floyd Allen, and most were scared to death of crossing him. State Judge Robert C. Jackson once said of Floyd Allen, quote, that he was perhaps the orneriest man in the state of Virginia.
Oh, that
seems to be...
That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot.
I don't know. It seems to be... That seems to be not quite the word. It seems... Whatever.
Well...
It seems crazy, rat, fuck, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Appropriate.
You know, he reminds me of that Ken McElroy, you know, that was the town bully.
Yeah, they shot down kind of in the... Yeah.
Murdered. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
No one. They got a special on that on Netflix. No one saw
that.
Oh, thing.
Okay. I have to check it out.
Yeah. So, anyway, he was the orneriest man in the state of Virginia. He was overbearing, vindictive, high-tempered, brutal, with no respect for law and little to no regard for human life. During my term of office, Floyd Allen was several times charged with violations of the law. In most instances, he escaped indictment. In most instances, he escaped indictment. I'm satisfied because the witnesses were afraid to testify to the facts before the grand jury. Yeah, because they'd probably get the shit beat out of them.
Makes sense, yeah. Yeah.
On the few occasions when juries were willing to convict Floyd Allen in a court of law, Floyd would just use his political connections to avoid punishment. In 1904, when Floyd was convicted of assaulting a neighbor, Noah Combs, he wanted to buy a farm owned by one of his brothers, but could not agree on a price. Combs wanted the land badly enough to pay the asking price and bought it despite Floyd's warnings not to butt in. Not long after, Floyd shot Combs in the head with a shotgun.
He seems to overreact a lot, I've noticed.
You think? Yeah. Miraculously, Combs survived the shooting, and Floyd was indicted and tried on charges of assault. After a two-day trial, Floyd was found guilty of felonious assault. The judge, however, was an old Allen family friend and sentenced Floyd to an hour in jail and the $100 fine plus costs. Well, Floyd was pissed. He immediately posted bail, pending an appeal. At his next court appearance following the appeal, Floyd produced a pardon from Governor Andrew J. Montague, suspending the jail sentence. He didn't spend an hour. He didn't spend the hour behind bars. He just, you know, whatever.
Well, he probably didn't want to do hard time.
Well, probably not. No. In the jail for an hour.
Breaking up those rocks for an hour, especially when you've been shot, you're limping.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Floyd? I mean, I can't imagine he was a real impressive physical specimen.
I told you, that man, the man's probably like 5'2". He's one of those you know, Chihuahua dogs that thinks he's bigger than he is, wants to make himself bigger than he is. So Floyd...
He's Bo.
Huh?
If Bo was a yes. man, he would be Floyd Allen.
Yes. So that, all this brings us to the incident that leads up to what became known as the Hillsville Massacre in 1912. Although Floyd and the Allen family still had tremendous influence in Carroll County and throughout the state of West Virginia, that influence was starting to wane. In 1910, Virginia elected William Hodges Mann as governor. Although Mann was a Democrat, he was a reformer and was hell-bent on cleaning up the dirty politics throughout the state. Also, over the years, the influence of the Allen family political machine began to decline in Hillsville and Carroll County. Voters were getting tired of the corruption of the Allen family and booted them out of public office, replacing them with reform-minded politicians. In short, Floyd and his family were losing their political influence. And here's where it gets squirrely. On December 6th, 1910, two of Floyd Allen's nephews, Wesley Edwards and Sidna Edwards, attended a corn shucking bee in Hillsville.
Colonel, have you ever been to a corn shucking bee? You ever been to one, Colonel?
Yeah. I've seen them, Timmy, and I've seen some amazing dexterity by some ladies in a corn shucking bee, Timmy.
Ladies?
Yeah, the way they peel it back, just left, you know, just...
Have you ever shucked corn?
I personally...
Yeah.
...have never shucked an ear of corn.
Okay, then hush. Till you shucked an ear of corn,
hush. But I've watched it.
Uh-huh. As tradition warranted...
And I find it quite erotic.
Oh, gross. As tradition warranted, whoever shucked an ear of corn with a red kernel was entitled to kiss the girl of his choice. Nothing wrong with this. This isn't fucked up at all.
I think that's fair.
Wesley Edwards shucked an ear of corn that had the red kernel and chose to kiss a girl who was romantically linked to a local youth, Will Thomas. This soon led to an altercation between Thomas and Edwards. At a church service the next morning, conducted by Wesley Edwards' uncle, Garland Allen, Will Thomas reportedly called out Wesley Edwards into a fight.
Well, I mean, you can't just go around kissing a guy's girlfriend.
Right.
I don't care if you have the red kernel.
Church service, you're calling people out. I'm assuming these people are the Baptists.
Oh, my God.
Because the Baptists can get into, you know, you know how the Baptist church are always splitting off into other Baptist churches. And I have been a Methodist my whole life, and I have never seen a fight in the parking lot.
Over a corn chucking.
But I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen outcome. It happen in Baptist churches. So, no offense to my Baptist friends. But I've seen it. Scientologists and Baptists, they will fight in the parking lot.
Well, that's a lot of insight you have on modern theology, Colonel.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's
right.
Just what I've seen. That's what I've noticed in my life.
All right. So the church services... anyway.
Pentecostals can throw down, too.
Oh, God.
Pentecostals will throw down to me.
All right. So they go out in the parking lot to fight. And according to Wesley Edwards, Thomas and three friends assaulted him, and he defended himself with the help of his brother, Sidna, who rushed to join the fight.
Sidna. Don't hear that name. Yep. Don't see that name much anymore.
You don't see Jasper either, and I really like that. Following a complaint lodged by Wesley Edwards' father, George, Wesley and his brother, Sidna Edwards, were charged with disorderly conduct, assault with a deadly weapon, disturbing a public worship service, and other violations. Feeling that his family members were being picked on, Floyd surprisingly became very angry. As the boys were being taken into custody, Floyd intervened. He met the buggy carrying his nephews to jail. The buggy was being driven by two constables, Deputy Easter and Deputy Samuels. Deputy Samuels pulled a gun and ordered Floyd to move. And Floyd rode back past the buggy, then blocked the narrow road with his horse. Deputy Samuels again pulled his gun on Floyd. A fight ensued, and Floyd beat Samuels with his own pistol. Jesus Christ.
If you're going to pull your pistol, pull the goddamn trigger. Don't let somebody beat you with your own pistol.
That's good advice.
You know they was making fun of him for a long time.
Oh, God. Wesley Edwards...
No worse than getting beat with your own pistol.
Well, Wesley Edwards tried to grapple with Easter, but Easter got away and fired a shot at Floyd as he did so, wounding Floyd in the finger. This motherfucker can't not get shot. He's like fucking Magneto.
Limping, got all his fingers all like day. He Swiss can't cheese. Knit no more. He can't, he's just...
Floyd.
God, he had to be a mess.
Floyd then released the Edwards brothers. Easter ran to an acquaintance home and telephoned the sheriff at Hillsville. Poor little Deputy Samuels was left lying unconscious in a ditch, and his horses were run off.
Well, that certainly seems... that's concerning.
And Floyd later stated that he never intended to have the boys set completely free. He just wanted them to be released from their manacles and treated as humans instead of animals.
Oh, he's concerned with police reform.
Their treatment, prison reform.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he was... Yeah, Floyd was about all about... Once they lost power, Floyd was all about defunding the police.
Yeah, well...
He just...
So... They got Floyd, and he was arrested and charged with numerous felonies, including attempted murder. When Floyd Allen's case was set for trial, rumors arose that he had sent word to Deputy Samuels that he would kill Samuels if the deputy testified against him. Of course, Floyd denied it.
From my perspective, of course, none of us were there, Brandy. But from my perspective, it seemed like Floyd was trying to... impact the finding of the jury.
This obstruction of justice witness tampering,
it seems
Timmy.
Like that. He shouldn't have done that, Brandy.
Mm. Well, of course, Floyd again denied it, but the threat, whoever sent it, caused the deputy to leave the state.
He left the state.
Doesn't seem legally kosher to me.
Yes, he left the state the same night that the threat was delivered.
He might be the smartest one in this story so far.
The rumor that the Allens were intimidating witnesses was called to the attention of the court. The presiding judge, Thornton Massey, called Constable Jack Allen and Floyd Allen, whom he'd also deputized about 6 months earlier, for fuck's sake, to the bar, and proceeded to question them about the alleged intimidation. Jack, of course, said, not me.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Yeah. Don't look at me, denied it all responsibility for the allegations, which he stated were not true, and insisted neither he nor Floyd were guilty of any wrongdoing.
See, Floyd at this point has a history that we can look back on.
Yeah. Well, in response, the judge, who was having none of their shit, told the two men that if law could not be enforced in Carroll County by the county officers, meaning Jack and Floyd, that he would get rid of the officers and bring in state troopers if necessary to maintain order.
Ooh.
After close to a year of delays, Floyd was finally brought to trial on March 13th, 1912. Judge Massey, who had deputized Floyd 6 months earlier, presided. So this is a stupid mother... This judge is a dumb motherfucker anyway.
Yes.
Because he deputized Floyd. Okay. So since Deputy Samuel had left town after being threatened by Floyd, the only witness to testify for the prosecution was Deputy Easter, but his testimony was very compelling. Many of the Allen clan members were spectators in the courtroom, and most of them, again, surprise, surprise, were armed with pistols. Floyd's brother, Jack, and Claude Allen and nephew Sidna were armed and stood on benches in the courtroom's northeast corner to see over the crowd. Floyd's sister, Friel Allen, was armed with a shotgun and sat in the back of the room. and the Edwards boys stood on benches next to the north wall. So they have put themselves in a position where...
Well, yeah, they're...
They're being the maximum the maximum amount of intimidation.
Yeah, yeah.
That
they got the whole room covered.
Yeah. So I'm going to have you guys talk and go through. Chuck, this is your thing. I have to go take my baby outside to pee because she's standing by the door.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that. Okay. You guys start this without me, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, I will tell you the conclusion of this sordid tale.
Thank you, Colonel.
When the jury returned a guilty verdict against Floyd, sentenced him to 1 year in the penitentiary.
Floyd ain't going
to
like that. He ain't going
to
like it.
No, he ain't going to like it because he refused to do an hour before. Now, Floyd is reported to have said to Judge Massey, if you sentence me on the verdict, I will kill you.
Yeah, he seems like he's trying to get influence Judge, with the court.
It does seem like he was, rather than being, regretful, remorseful, showing some kind of... if you sentence me, I will kill you. Now, that is not something you generally want to tell a judge.
That's correct.
You generally want to say something like, well, there were extenuating circumstances.
Be a little contrite.
Contrition. I had a bad childhood, something like that. But no, if you sentence me, I will kill you. Well, Judge Massey at once proceeded to sentence Floyd to 1 year's imprisonment. And at the moment the sentence was handed down, all hell broke loose in the courtroom.
Oh, no.
Timmy.
What happened?
Well, accounts differ, Timmy, as to who actually fired the first shot. Many accounts claim that Floyd Allen initiated the confrontation by pulling a gun in court, which is, that is against any kind of legal and court decorum to brandish a firearm. Now, in any event, within seconds, a hail of gunfire rang out in the courtroom. The Allen family opened fire from the gallery, and a court deputy returned fire.
Oh, my God.
Once again, striking Floyd Allen in the leg.
Oh, man.
Now, the gunfight lasted
That'd be cool
over
if,
90
if that
seconds.
Was on court TV. That would be cool.
That would be cool. Now, a gunfight lasting 90 seconds is a long, long time.
Yeah, when everyone is firing weapons, 90 seconds is a long time.
It is. Well, this gunfight left the judge, Thornton Massey, the prosecutor, the sheriff, two jurors, a deputy, and the key witness, Luke Easter, all dead. All dead, Timmy. Now, Floyd Allen limped away because he'd been shot in the leg and was helped on his horse by family members and escaped the scene. Now, Judge Massey, Sheriff Webb, the Commonwealth's Attorney Foster, and the jury foreman, Augustus C. Fowler, were all hit and died of their wounds sustained in that crossfire, Timmy. Now, more than 50 bullets were later recovered from the shooting scene. Now, Elizabeth Ayers, a 19-year-old subpoenaed witness who had testified against Floyd, was shot in the back while trying to leave the courtroom and died at home the next day. Those cowards, they shot her in the back.
19 years old.
Now, seven others were wounded, including Deputy Clark and Floyd Allen. Now, Floyd was wounded too badly in the hip, thigh, and knee to leave town. So he spent the night at the Elliott Hotel, accompanied by his eldest son, Victor, who was later acquitted of involvement in the shootout. A manhunt for Floyd Allen was soon underway. He was arrested while hiding out with relatives in Iowa.
He
got all the way to Iowa, Timmy. Country.
Do you just let him go, though, at that point? Like, shit.
Well, he probably went up there. In all fairness, he probably went up there for the hobo convention that's held in Iowa every year.
Well, that's true.
He might have. Now, upon his arrest, Timmy, Floyd attempted to slash his own throat with a pocket knife, but he was overpowered before he could complete the job.
He lacked conviction.
And Floyd was tried. He was tried for the first-degree murder of the Commonwealth's Attorney Foster. And on May 18, 1912, the jury found Floyd guilty. Now, Floyd, all of a sudden finding some compassion in his little Grinch heart, wept freely as the verdict was read. He wasn't so bold as the last time, like, if you sentence me, I will kill you. This time, he was crying. He was like, "Oh, Mama, help me out of this. I didn't mean to do it." So he was. He became a little bitch, a little limpy, gimpy bitch.
Most of them do.
Now, in July 1912, after three separate trials, Claude Allen was convicted of first-degree murder for the killing of the Commonwealth's Attorney Foster and for second-degree murder in the killing of Judge Massey. For their roles in the shooting, Floyd and Claude were sentenced to death by electrocution. Mm. This is when they had the chair. Yeah, that's right. We stepped up technology, yeah. Floyd Allen's death sentence was deeply unpopular with Allen's supporters in the county, but many other residents were unsympathetic, surprised by the deaths of so many people over Floyd Allen's refusal to serve a year in prison. Now, Governor Mann, who had received death threats in the same handwriting as the threats previously delivered to the trial judge, had cut short a trip to Pennsylvania after learning his lieutenant governor, James Taylor Ellison, had attempted to commute Floyd Allen's sentences in the governor's absence.
What the fuck is going on?
So the governor got back just in the nick of time, refused to request the commute, the death sentence, to life in prison, and Floyd Allen, Timmy, had to walk the green mile. Mm. They packed his ass with cotton, they shaved his head, and they electrocuted him on March 28th, 1913 at 1:20 p.m., Timmy.
That's about that, Brandy.
And 11 minutes later, 11 minutes later, Timmy, his son Claude followed his father to the chair.
That's efficient. Now, 11 minutes.
Sidney Allen pleaded guilty. Now, he got 35 years in prison for voluntary manslaughter.
Sidney's his nephew.
Sidney, okay.
The church fighter. Yeah. And he got 35 years, and he pled guilty to second-degree murder for the shooting of Sheriff Webb, so he was sentenced to 18 years, which is 53 years, and, you know, back in those days, people only lived to be about roughly 21 years old, so he was going to spend the rest of his life in prison and die there. So there was finally, Timmy, finally justice. And as they took Floyd to the chair, Timmy, he didn't go like a man.
Oh, no.
He did not go. He was whimpering. He was just begging, pleading for his life, saying that he was sorry. But it didn't do any good, Timmy. And you know they do with the electric chair. They pack you with cotton so they don't have to clean you up when they soil yourself.
Well, that's smart.
Did you know that? They put a big gauze of cotton up your backside and keep you from doing that.
Wow. That's fascinating.
So Floyd met old Sparky in the end, Timmy.
Right.
Now, I feel like, you know, I'm reading this, and I feel like there's something missing, you know, that Floyd would never tell us, because I feel like, you know, when we're a more enlightened society now, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like Floyd had some kind of trauma in his life, you know? And if they would have dealt with that trauma, Floyd would have been a much better person. Maybe we could have, and this is why mental health is so important. If they could have got Floyd to a good child psychologist or something like that, maybe Floyd wouldn't have turned into be the psychopath that he became.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Brandy.
I don't disagree with it.
But back in the 1800s, they didn't have Obamacare or anything like that. You know, you had to just go out and, I don't even know if they had psychiatrists then.
Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Floyd Allen of Carroll County, Virginia?
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Wasn't someone that he was an asshole that you liked when a character.
I did not have an affection for Floyd.
Okay.
That is correct.
Colonel, what's your final thoughts on Floyd Allen?
Well, you know, he is a relative of the current senator in the state, Joe Manchin.
I didn't know that. I thought Joe Manchin.
I'm not even surprised.
Joe Manchin, I believe, is in West Virginia, but.
Yeah.
Well, Was this Virginia?
It was Virginia.
It was Virginia's sweetheart.
But that's all right.
It's been Virginia this whole hour and a half.
All those people are related. That was my
I got you, the whole cousin. I got you. Down there.
Jesus.
Well.
I thought we was in West Virginia down here.
Well, you know, West Virginia became part, I mean, western part of Virginia became West Virginia during the Civil War. This was after that, so. Yeah, it's Virginia.
Well, and in the beginning, Timmy said it was West Virginia, but it wasn't. It was Virginia.
Colonel.
So it's all good.
You can see where I got
Colonel,
thrown.
We would like to thank all of our... This is our last podcast of the year. We are now... We will soon be entering our eighth year of the podcast. We started this podcast in January of 2015.
Wow.
So we've been around.
You started this aberration of this bastardized podcast of a...
So
8 years, Timmy. Can you believe that?
Some people like us. Some people don't. But...
If you don't, then too goddamn bad.
But we shall continue this until eternity, Brandy.
Oh, great.
Well, I'm going to tell you who likes us, Tim.
Who?
Liz Lawrence Castellano.
Oh, yeah?
She likes us.
Oh, thank you, Liz.
I'll tell you who else likes us. Kim Purple and Baby Sam.
Yeah.
They like us. Stevie Smiles. Because these people are all Patreon sponsors. And you could also be a Patreon sponsor.
Yeah, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. It's patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word. Where you can give a little, you can give a lot. Or how much, Colonel?
You're just a wee.
All right, hit me with some more Patreon supporters.
And if you would like to be, you could look up on Facebook fans of History Dweeb Podcast.
Yeah.
And join our page.
Our listeners are everywhere.
Our original page was shut down out of really poor behavior from...
I got a notice from that page again today. It's been shut down for what, like a year, year and a half? And I got a warning that if we don't change our ways that they're going to cancel our podcast, which they did. I mean, the page,
we have appealed
which
that.
They did a year and a half ago.
We have appealed that shutdown, but it has done no use as of this
And you
moment.
Know, Brandy, I was Let's an see. Early supporter of Zuckerberg. You know that, Brandy, because he seemed to be a nice gentleman. And he was married to an attractive woman. So, you know, that always something that, that I...
Listen, your Zuckerberg fetish has nothing to do with jack shit.
But now...
That page is gone. I know. Who cares? Chuck's reading names.
All right.
It's
All right,
very
Charles.
Exciting.
All right, Charles.
I think the two big twins should have kicked his ass.
Oh, my God. But, who cares about the Winklevoss twins?
Okay, let's see. Emily, Alan Cox, Aaron Cunkamola, Rachel Goss, Anna Kaufman, Shelby Pelegi, Robert Benefield, Gina Green, Andrea Lewis Siddons, Tessie Poor, Buffy, Danielle Townsend, Marianne Knight, Already Gone Podcast, Amber Anderson, Ben Dobrovich. Now, we got the Bloody Murder Podcast, which...
Yes, a great podcast.
They don't... Tara doesn't do the Bloody Murder Podcast anymore. However, she does do, and I would suggest you check this out, the World's Dumbest Criminals Podcast.
Oh.
So that's...
Floyd Allen should have been on
A very, very good one. Yeah, he should have. Bridget Bernard, Cassie Jones, Callie Jones, Christy Lee and Canadian True Crime, Carl Asplund, Cheryl LeBlanc, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, who are going to be expecting another grandbaby, Timmy.
I think it's their plan to take over the state of Michigan, Colonel.
I believe it is. One Trowbridge at a time. Erica, they're going to become a dynasty just like the Islands were down in Virginia. Erica Kinney, although I believe Diane will be more benevolent.
Oh, my God.
Benevolent. Yeah. Erica Kinney, Aaron Turner, Marsha Boris, Jay Cleveland Payne, Jamie Dent, Hiro, Jason Dykes, Jeff, and Don Chestnut. Did you see the stuff Jeff posted that he made out of leather?
No, I don't think so.
He's amazing.
Dr. Jeff is a talented young man.
as I told him, he's a renaissance man, Timmy. He's a renaissance man. Jennifer Orcutt, Jennifer Savoda, Jess, Kelly Charette, Kim Stroop, Christine Malachinsky, Laura O'Reilly, Marsha Boris, Marie, Mary Courtney Sheldon, Michelle Johns, my next ex-wife, Paula Kimes, Sarah Bloom, Sue Van Hook, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp, we hope you're listening, hope you're doing well, hope everything's good, Stephen Potts, just a wretched, wretched band from down under, Terry Stratford, They Walk Among Us podcast, two of our favorite people, Rosie and Ben Fitton, Timmy, Tyrone, Tommy Long, Tommy Lane is in my ear. And in my, you get where I'm going with that, right, Devil?
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Smith. And of course, we wish a very, very, very Merry Christmas to Dottie Scott.
Yes.
Who we do this podcast for week after week after week. Dottie, there was a pretty good amount of violence and bloodshed. Dottie likes when there's a lot of bodies.
Yeah, she does. She likes a high Dottie body count. Dottie doesn't
really like the one body things. She likes a high body count.
She does.
And we will also say hello to, really, is she going to be the princess of the dweebs, Timmy? Miss the lovely Leanne Flanagan?
She is without portfolio.
What title
right now
do we give her?
Yes,
is
she's without portfolio.
Yes.
She, by marrying Timmy, would that make her a baroness?
It might.
Do you think she's marrying you for your title, Timmy? Do you think she's trying to move into royalty?
Probably.
You know, keep my eye on it, Colonel.
Are you going to get a prenup that says she can't be a baroness if she you get divorced?
I'm looking into that as we speak.
It's something that you should consider, Timmy. Because I think she might just... I'm not saying I don't trust her, Timmy. You know, but women, as a rule... they use their wiles against you.
Yeah.
You know, they use those feminine wiles. And she, you know, the next thing you know, you could be married and then not married and you not even a baron and she's a baron and a baroness.
You got to be careful.
You do have to be careful with that stuff, Timmy. So, but let it take your cat, Timmy. Let it take that cat.
All right.
Take it on.
Thank you all for joining us. Again, if you'd like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word. And we'll see you all again.
We'll put a link up soon,
we will.
Timmy. We'll put a link up soon. After
we will. And we'll have that YouTube channel up pretty soon.
I put a link in the YouTube the other day on the channel.
You're a wonderful engineer.
We're ready to go. Yeah. Hey, I'm on top of that.
All right, we'll see you all next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.